December 11th through the 17th, 1977, in Cleveland, Ohio, the Born Again Messages with Brother Titus Chu. Message 1.
Now, let's come to the training. We have about 10, 15 minutes. I just say a few words about the matter of born again. You know, brothers, basically, all of us concerning born again, all of us has a wrong concept. You know, Christianity has taught us even more wrong, right? He taught us what is born again. Born again means that you one day you repented, and after your repentance, you will go to heaven when the Lord will come back. Right. You know, this, brother, is 100% wrong teaching. Why? Because there is no such thing called to go to the heaven in the Bible. Amen. I know this is offensive. Some brothers who have been saved longer or be in the church longer, they would say, no, this must be a very peculiar teaching. It's not a peculiar teaching. There is in the Bible, you listen to this, there is in the Bible a certain brothers will be raptured to go to the Lord's presence. That is when the time of Lord's come back. That is just a very small number. All those who rest already, who slept already in these 2,000 years, and all those who are not overcomers, even all those who are matured later. Do you know what I mean? When the 3.5 years, now this is not beginning, this is too much. But anyway, I go fast, okay? If you don't understand, don't understand, okay? And all those who are raptured in the period of tribulation, they none of them will go to the throne. Only those who, when the Lord desire to come back, and those who are mature, they were raptured. Very small number will go to the throne of the Lord. All the others will not. All the others will meet him in the air. Is that clear? Gradually. Is that clear? Now, first, this tells us we are not going to go to the heavens. Secondly, if the Christianity will indicate New Jerusalem as the heavens in the future, then New Jerusalem is coming down to the new earth. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? It is not we go to a heavenly New Jerusalem, but the heavenly New Jerusalem will come down to the earth where the Lord will be with us eternally. Am I right? Therefore, there's no such thing called if you will be saved, then you will be okay. You will die. After you die, you will go to heaven. So what you do today, you go to the church of your choice and offer 25 cents. No, this is absolutely the degraded Christianity. It's a wrong teaching and it's corrupting to the face of the believers. This is clear to you. Am I right? Yeah. Secondly, people have the wrong concept. If you are born again, then what? Then the Spirit will come into you, but not the Christ himself. You know why? Because in Christianity, the God was divided into three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? Who is in your spirit? It is God the Spirit who is in your spirit. And they don't say God the Spirit. They say the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit come into your spirit. Therefore, they don't believe. They don't believe you're born again has anything to do with the person of the living Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is sitting in the heavenly golden throne. Am I right? Where is the Spirit? Spirit is moving around and ready to get into you. Where is the Father? Father is hidden or sit beside Christ. Am I right? This is the typical teaching of Christianity on the matter of born again. Well, this is better. This is much better than go to the heavens. Go to the heavens just like Santa Claus. It's just nonsense. Am I right? It totally bribes the conscience of the Christians. A Christian can be saved and be bribed. I don't have to worry anymore. I'm going to go to the heavens. Everything will be okay with me because I'm saved. Therefore, I do whatever I want. I just go to the church of my choice. It totally bribes the conscience of the Christians and takes them away from the desire of Christ. But I tell you, even some higher Christians, they realize that born again is more than to go to the heavens. Born again is a spirit, the Holy Spirit, come into you. Even that definition for born again is wrong. Why? Because in the Bible, there are more than one verses tells us that Christ is in us. Right? First says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, Christ is no longer just in the heavenly places. Christ is also abide in your spirit.
Amen.
Right? Also, the 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if know ye not, or examine ye, if Christ is not in you, you are a what? Reprobate. Right? If Christ is not in you, then you are cursed. All the verse proves to us, born again is not just what Christianity says. Go to the heaven. Neither is what Christianity says that the Holy Spirit comes into you to represent Christ. All these are nonsense. Not right. What is born again? What is born again? You know, in that moment, brother, in that moment, when you begin to realize by the light of the Holy Spirit that you are a sinner, that you need to receive Jesus as your Savior.
Right.
The born again would at least do three major things. You see? And the three major things, none of them can be done in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament period, all this can never be accomplished. First, born again issues out a change of life. Could you write this down?
Amen.
Born again issues out the change of life.
Amen.
And secondly, born again issues out a change of position.
Amen.
Is that clear? And thirdly, born again issues out the necessity of a new living.
Yes.
Three things. Born again will bring you at least the three things. First, the born again issues out a change of life.
Right.
Secondly, the born again issues out the change of position. Thirdly, the born again issues out the necessity of a new living. That means you may not have the new living. But if you don't have the new living, you lost the reality of born again. It doesn't mean you are not saved, but you lost. Just like what? Just like you go to the hospital. You see a patient there. He was in a deep coma. The word coma, right? Coma. He was in deep coma. A person was in deep coma, no matter how you touch him, you ping him, you know what I mean? Whatever you do has no sense. Is he a man? Yes. Is he alive? Yes. Right? Does he have human life? Yes. But is he normal and healthy? No, he was in a deep coma. You have to realize, born again with issues, the necessity of a new living. If you don't take care of this new living, I tell you, you will have a spiritual coma. And I tell you, brothers, many, many Christians, I would even say 85, 90, 95%, 98% of the born again Christians today, by the fallen Christianity, by the bribing of their conscience, they are either in coma or deep coma. They have no feeling. They have no sense. Are they born again? Yes. Are they saved? Yes. But do they have the sense of the necessity of the new living? No. No. They are born again. They are born again. But it's hard for you to realize they are born again, and even hard for them to realize they're born again. If you don't believe, you talk with many Christians. You talk with them. Are you born again? They'll say, yes, I'm born again. I believe in Jesus Christ. But if you ask him, then what? They will be shocked. If you don't believe, you just go check with Christians. You say, brothers, you know, Mr. So-and-so, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Are you born again? Yes. Then you say, just ask him one thing. Then what? Ask him, then what? Every life demands a kind of living. You cannot say, I got human life, I live as a dog. You can never do this. Once you have a human life, it demands a human living. Right? Once you have the life of God, it demands the what? God's living. Every life demands a kind of living. The born again issues out the necessity of what? Of a new living.
Amen.
You know, brothers, don't take these three statements in a simple way. All the three things, no matter how wonderful a sense our forefathers can be in the Old Testament, they never have this. God has called Abraham. But Abraham was never born again. You realize this? So Abraham never had the change of life. Abraham just Abraham. Till his death, he was old Abraham. Is that clear? God appears time and time and time to Jacob. But Jacob was all the time Jacob. Jacob can never be born again. Have you realized this? In the old time, the Lord has spoken to so many great prophets, have spoken to so many great forefathers, so many kings, right? So many scribes. Lord has spoken to them, spoken through them, used them, appeared to them. You know what I mean? But none of them have the experience of the new life. None of them have a change of position. None of them have the necessity of the new living. You say, well, no, no, no. You mean that Abraham was called out of Ur and he doesn't have a new living? His new living is different with your new living. I visual Abraham, I think I see a lot of churchgoers. Very much like this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Everything is objective. What we are talking about, the new living, everything is subjective. It's not objective. Do you know what I'm talking about, brother? In the Old Testament, you have all the great forefathers, right? You have Enoch, right? You have what? Abel, you have Seth, you have Enoch, you have Noah. You have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob, you have Joseph, you have Moses, you have Joshua, you have Caleb, you have all these great forefathers. But one thing, God can never deal with them as God deal with us. Why? Because none of them born again. There are two verses. You can fight with me. Two verses, okay? I quote to you. One verse was in Joshua, which says what? Caleb has another spirit. Okay? And another verse, which, you know, people would argue, isn't Caleb has a spirit? Another verse is Daniel. Daniel, in him, has the spirit of what? Holy and the good, whatever. In Chinese, the translation is holy and good spirit. I don't know how the English version speaks, huh? What? Maybe the spirit of discernment. Maybe the excellent spirit. Excellent? He said, excellent spirit. In Daniel, there is an excellent spirit. But both of them does not necessarily mean subjectively. I tell you, brother, I'm not trying to look down at the forefathers. Lord knows we all are his descendant by faith. Am I right? So we are not in a place to say anything. Many times I would compare some of the prophet in the Old Testament with a donkey Lord has used. Do you remember the donkey? Right? Balaam was using him, right? Him, right? Gloriously trying to curse Israelites in what? In Numbers, right? In that book. Huh? Then God came to donkey. When God came to donkey began to speak some human word. Right? And you know, Balaam turned out to be a donkey. So he speaks to donkey. When any people who love the money so much, they're donkey. I'm not joking. Do you know how, if I were Balaam, I was threatened to death already. Right, I was riding the donkey. All of a sudden, the donkey doesn't go. I began to beat the donkey, and the donkey began to say, Master, why should you beat me? I would say, wow, what is this? I think I would be fainted already. But you see, Balaam, he loves money so much, he speak with donkey. Why? Because he was really a donkey. Donkey speak to donkey. So he says, I'd rather kill you. You see, the donkey word. So afterward, you realize, huh? Balaam went to curse Israelites, right? Where he was cursing, all of a sudden, he turned out to be very spiritual. He says, if Jehovah wants me to speak, I will speak. If he doesn't want me to speak, I will not speak. Then all of a sudden, he sees the beautiful thing. He gave a lot of blessings. Brother, let me ask you, after all the blessings, will Balaam be changed a little bit? No. You know what he did? He told Balak. He said, I tell you a way. I cannot curse him because the Spirit of God is not upon me. The Spirit of God upon me, I only can bless. But I teach you a way. The way is get your beautiful girls to go to Israelites and let them marry or have improper relationship with them. Then mess them up. God will get mad at them. Then God will curse Israelites. You see? After God's Spirit falling upon him, what he did, he was still a donkey. Have you ever realized that born again in the Old Testament, you have all these great forefathers in a positive way, not in a negative way. Even the positive, great forefathers. But none of them ever experienced the thing we experience the moment we repent. The moment we repent, we are greater than all the forefathers. Why? Because we got the three things. First, we got the change of life. The life of God replaced or come into us, right? Revived our spirit. We have a change of position. We are no longer earthly. We turn out to be heavenly, right? And thirdly, he shows the necessity of a proper living, another kind of living. Why? Because after the born again, we were born into the body. We're born into the body. Then we must have the body life. You see, first, we have the life of God. Right? Secondly, we become heavenly. Thirdly, we are born into the body. We must have the body life. But, brothers, in the Old Testament, none of them ever had the blessing to see all these riches. Yeah? What?
The fathers
were
not considered friends
of the father. Friends? Oh, yeah. Sure. Now, I was just going to say this. He said it. That's just good. You know, that is why when Jesus was on this earth, right, he said one thing. People said, talk about John the Baptist, right? Then Lord began to say in this way. He said, no one was born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. That is to say, Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, Jeremiah, all these things, none of them are greater than John the Baptist. None of the men, anyone who is born of the woman is not greater than John the Baptist. But then he adds something very peculiar. He said, but do you know that your comfort is greater than John the Baptist? Who is feel, not feel comfort, feel more. It's greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because feel more is a small brother. Praise the Lord. He's not great. Is he great? At least not yet. Right? He's just a small brother. He's a young brother. He just saved not too long, a year, 2 years now. Am I right? 1 year?
Four.
Huh? 4 years already. Praise the Lord. He's saved. 4 years. I tell you, brother, he's not a great brother. But he has one thing special. He was born into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If you are in the kingdom of God, even you are the smallest You are greater than John the Baptist. Have you realized that no one is greater than the John the Baptist? No one. No one that is born of the flesh is greater than John the Baptist. But we, the little potatoes, right? All the little potatoes. But by Lord's mercy, we are born again.
Amen.
And we are born of God.
Amen.
We are born into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Therefore, we are greater than John the Baptist.
Amen.
Why? Why nobody's greater than John? Because John saw the kingdom of God. Abraham waiting for the kingdom of God. Is that clear? All the forefathers are waiting for the kingdom of God. John the Baptist saw the kingdom of God. And we, those who are born again, are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
See the difference? In the Old Testament, all these forefathers are waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting, waiting for what? Waiting for that day to come. And John the Baptist, praise the Lord, he saw that day. And who are we? Hallelujah. We are in that day. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is why, brothers, that born again, that moment is not a small thing. The moment you turn your heart to the Lord, the moment you open your heart, you pray, Jesus, come into me. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. That moment when you begin to say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, I receive you. That moment, three things happen. First, you have a change of life. Second, you have a change of position. Thirdly, you are born into something. There's a necessity of a change of living.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your life changed. Now, God, the triune God, is in your heart. We'll share all this later, right? When your position changed, you are no longer earthly. You are no longer looking up. You are heavenly. You are sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. Am I right? And more than that, hallelujah. Now you are brought into another kind of living. You don't need a donkey life anymore. Neither do you need a dog life anymore. You need the body life.
Amen.
You are no longer a donkey speaking to donkey. I tell you, all the money makers are donkeys. Am I right? And you are no longer dog speaker dog. All the religious. Right? But praise the Lord. You are in the body life.
Amen.
Speak with all the members in the body.
Amen.
You have a new living.
Yeah.
You have a new life.
Amen.
A new position.
Amen.
And a new living.
Amen.
This is a beginning. This is what's happened in the moment of your repentance.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I tell you, brother, in 1953, January the 1st, about 9:30, at that time was the first time I knelt down. I began to say something to the Lord. I don't know Jesus, male or female. But I prayed. I don't care. But I prayed, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Cover me. Save me. By that, I never realized my life changed. I never realized my position changed.
Amen.
And I never realized my living changed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I thought I was just a poor sinner. My sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. From now on, I will not go to hell. I never realized it's not an issue. Go to hell is nothing compared with all the riches God has prepared for those as his life. That not go to hell is almost nothing. Surely it's good not go to hell. But you compare with all this, the change of life, the change of position, the change of living, you begin to say, praise the Lord. It is much, much more than not going to hell. And it's much, much more than going to heaven. And it's much, much more than just have a spirit in me. Now, my whole life is different. In life, in position, in living, my whole being is different. That is what happened the moment you prayed unto the Lord. Now, you see, brother, are you saved? Have you prayed like this? Have you realized you have a new life, a new position? Do you know? How about a new living? Hallelujah.
Amen.
How about you, brother? Do you have a new life? A new position? And a new living? Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, how about that young girl? I like to ask her. Come on, young girl. How about you? What's your name? Cassie? Do you have a new life? Could you say yes or no? Yes? Do you have a new position? Amen. Do you have a new living? Oh, I tell you, brothers, I don't know what to share. I feel that is rich enough. Am I right? We'll come to it more in the coming days. How about the new creation, all these things? But now, basically, you need to remember what is born again. Born again is a change, issues out the change of life, issues out the change of position, and issues out the necessity of a new living. Hallelujah. We still have 5 minutes. Have some short, quick testimony.